As we consider Christmas Eve, it is often the fifth event in an Advent process. This is the night when we light the last of the candles. But through our services over these past 4 weeks, we've talked about various things about the candles, and we've talked about them differently than maybe what the traditional way is. And I know many of you weren't here for those, so I want to give you just a quick overview. Generally speaking, in each of the candles, it represents something. It might be the shepherds, or it might be the angels. It might be joy or hope. And we've taken a little different look at that this year. And so the first candle that we lit, we called the candle of salvation. Normally we talk about Jesus. It says he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. But the other scripture says that he will be named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so the first candle was the candle of salvation. The second candle we had was the candle of revelation. Normally when we think about light, when we talk about the Christmas story, we're thinking about the star that appeared to the wise men and led them to where Jesus was, the house where Jesus was. But this year we talked about Jesus Christ as the light of the world and how he comes and reveals to us who he is, who God is. He reveals to us our sin and our need for him. So we talked about the candle of revelation. We often talk about the candle of peace. And the candle of peace, normally we think of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we think about it in terms of, or often we do anyway, in terms of peace between men. But this year we focused on peace with God. Jesus came so that we could be reconciled with God, so that our sins that he revealed could be forgiven, and we could be reconciled with God. So this was the candle of peace, or the candle of reconciliation. This last week, we talked about the shepherd. And at Christmas time, when we talk about shepherds, we think about the shepherds that were on the hill that saw the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." But this year, we focused on the scripture where the wise men were looking for where the king of Israel would be born. And the scriptures in Micah said that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he would be a shepherd, a leader who would shepherd the people of Israel. And so we found that the leader who was coming, Jesus, wasn't the shepherds on the hill. It was Jesus, the shepherd, who came to care for us, to guide us, to lead us through tough times to a better place. So all through our Advent period, we've kind of taken a different look at things. And so lastly, we come to the Christ candle. Christ the baby. Christ the Messiah. As we go through this evening, I want you to keep your eyes on not just Jesus the baby, but Jesus the Messiah.
We just want to draw our attention back again and again to that first Advent, the first coming of Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, we want to look at what scriptures say about the first coming of Jesus. And so Scott and I have selected some scriptures to walk us through the evening. And Scott, if you want to come, and we will walk our way through what this first Advent meant.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows.
And he will be... Wait a minute, what are you doing?
I'm reading the scriptures. We said we're going to read the scriptures about this,
no,
and isn't this what you wanted us to do?
You're supposed to be reading the Christmas story.
No, no, no. I specifically heard you say, and I quote, we're going to pick scriptures about the first Advent, and that's what I did. I picked some prophecies talking about the coming of Christ, and, you know, we should have probably got our minds together on this a little beforehand, but, you know, I thought that's what you wanted, isn't it?
Well, yeah, no. You're reading about Easter Jesus, and we want to be reading about Christmas Jesus.
Wait a minute. Christmas Jesus? Are you serious? Is that a real thing here?
You know, the baby and the manger and the whole thing. It's Christmas time, and people are busy doing their shopping, and they want to make sure they know how to pay their bills in January, and they don't want to hear about sad stuff.
Well, I don't find this sad.
What, really?
Yeah, this is great.
Let me see what you got. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Yeah, I guess you're right. That's not sad at all.
Well, it isn't pleasant, but it's part of the Christmas story.
No, the Christmas story is the manger and the taxes and the whole there was no room for them in the inn thing.
Scott, you know that's only part of the story.
I do know that's only part of the story, but it's Christmas time, and people don't want to be challenged that much. That baby Jesus is safe. He doesn't demand much of us, and he looks good on a Christmas card.
Wait a minute now. You're telling me that incarnate God coming and walking among sinful man. We're talking about Jesus Christ placing flesh on himself. God coming and walking among us, being with us, is safe. I would call it pretty fantastic. I'd call it radical. I'd even call it wild, but I would not call it safe.
Most people don't think about the God in flesh part. They're thinking about the stable and the donkey, if there was one, and the gold and frankincense and chocolate.
Scott, I really think you're selling all of us short here tonight, just to let you know. Because, you know, I think they're smart enough to understand that what happened here in Bethlehem on that night was really significant.
And I think you're crazy. What we have is a room full of frazzled people who are taking a break from the hustle and bustle of frantic shopping, and they just want to come to church and have... I just want a little hope, really. So we're going to read the Christmas scriptures and have a silent night, and we'll hark the herald angels, and then they can go home and finish getting ready to celebrate baby Jesus.
Well, now, I could say that we agree on something.
Oh, good.
Yes. We're all looking for hope. But where is the hope without the cross?
What?
You know, our hope isn't that Jesus came. It's that he went to the cross, and then he rose again, and he's not in the grave any longer.
Yeah, but it's Christmas time. Do we really need to talk about all that right now? Because if we talk about that now, they don't have to come back at Easter.
But if we don't talk about it now, we're missing the whole point! And our world's saturated with this watered-down version of Christmas. You know, where are we going to find the hope? We have to do a much better job, all of us, in remembering the great gift that Jesus was.
Okay, I think I get it, but do you want to explain a little bit further for us?
Okay, well, he didn't just come to be a baby. He didn't come just to touch a few people, to heal a few people, to start a new religion. He came to die. This baby came to die. We can't get past that. He came, and by dying, he took away our sins. He took our sins upon himself so that he would open up a door for freedom, for joy inexpressible, for us to be reconciled to God, to find true joy in God. And so with that comes eternal life. Now, if you can't find hope in the midst of that, I'm not sure where you could find hope this season.
Okay, I'm with you. I get it, but what do you want to do now?
I say let's go back to plan A.
Okay.
I mean, we started there in the first place, so let's go back and let's read the scriptures. Let's stop embarrassing ourselves and get back on track here.
And you're sure that's going to bring hope?
Well, we just got done saying that the power is in the scriptures. So let's play this out.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows.
He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register.
We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he was of the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
For unto us a child is born,
but he was pierced for our transgressions.
To us a son is given,
and he was crushed for our iniquities.
The people living in darkness have seen a great light.
The punishment that brought us peace, he took upon himself.
On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
And by his wounds, we are healed.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried.
He was raised again the third day.
And he ascended to the highest of heavens so that he may fill the entire universe.
Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God.
And Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me.
And Jesus declared, all those the Father has given me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but I will have the light of life.
Jesus said that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Now there is hope. The hope in the first Advent is that God would provide a means of reconciliation, to reconcile the world to himself. And he did that in Jesus. Jesus was born as a baby, but he lived a life, a perfect life as a man, and he died in our place, and then he was raised from the dead that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be God's children. It was foretold in Scripture, and it took place according to the Scriptures.
The hope of the second Advent is that Jesus Christ is coming back again to fulfill the work that he had started. He says to his disciples, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I am going to come back to take you so that where I am, you may also be. It was also told in Scriptures that he is coming again, and it will be done.
And the hope of that time between, while we celebrate the birth of Jesus and await his return, the hope in that is that he will not abandon us. In fact, he will empower us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
But let's face it, Some of us here, we just do not feel empowered. We do not feel that we are able to overcome the hectic nature of this season even. We can't find hope in much of anything. And we take time in our days, every day, to worry about things that could happen or have happened to us. To us, Jesus talks to us again. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, burdened, and you will find rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find freedom for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Paul tells us in Philippians, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." That's an amazing hope that we have, an amazing peace that we have. But our hope is not just simply that Jesus came. Our hope is not just in the fact that he died on a cross. Truly, the greatest hope, the greatest joy we can have is knowing Jesus Christ is present here with us today, now. He's pursuing us. He's empowering us to good works. He is satisfying the longing of our souls. And he pursues us with an unending passion of love and of grace. The reality is that when we say Merry Christmas, what we're doing is we are proclaiming the person and the reason for joy and hope and peace and love in this season and throughout the year.
Merry Christmas.
So we say Merry Christmas.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Now we've talked about a different view of Christmas. And perhaps for some of you tonight, came clearer than it has in the past. We're not celebrating just a baby. We are celebrating a baby, but not just a baby. We're not celebrating just that Jesus came to live as a man, but that he died and that he rose again, and he did so, born to give them second birth, that we might be reborn, that we might be born into the family of God, that we might be children of God. That's that reconciliation that God has provided. So I know we've got lots of things yet to do tonight and tomorrow. We've got a couple more songs yet to sing together here. But let me encourage you, if this has hit you in a different way than it has, and you've got questions, don't leave tonight without talking to Pastor Eric or myself, or perhaps someone else that you've come to know, understands who God is and how Jesus works in our lives and how the Holy Spirit has come to live within us. Talk with someone before you leave this evening. We have nothing better to do. We have nothing more important to do than to be sure that we understand this clearly and have received it for ourselves that we might be God's children.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.